story is phenomenal. I'm going to be using it a lot because now I know I'm more familiar with, you know, some of the ins and outs of what he's done. Damian's story is amazing. And I'm just going to start out. I'm going to be talking about the 10 core commitments, and we've got about an hour and 15 minutes, I think. I'm not sure. I'm going to be talking about the 10 core commitments, which is the key to this business. So I'm going to tell you right now, there's no new secrets. There's no new strategies. I haven't come up with anything creative to figure out how to do this business. It really just comes down to two exposures a day. Okay, and we were talking about that last night at the Performance Club dinner. It used to be a different number of points to get into Performance Club. It was a little bit more challenging. But just by doing, on a part-time basis, two exposures a day, I've been in Performance Club. I was in since the beginning. I did fall out, but then I got back in. I think I've been, it's 170 months, I think it is now. So it's something that everybody can do. It's a decision. But before I go into the 10 core commitments, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about goal setting, and I want you to think bigger. But even before I go into that, I just want to talk about, you know, one of the best ways to build this business. And this, Damien and I were listening to a CD on the way over here, some personal development, and this is what I got from that gentleman years and years ago, 20 years ago, okay? And that is, you can't figure out how to do this business. You're never going to figure it out because your business will not be exactly the way Dave's is, the same as Damien's, the way anybody. It's not going to be the same. It's just, it's impossible for it to be the same, okay? And the gentleman that we were listening to, one of my mentors, our mentors, had a story that's similar to what I'm going to tell you right now. This is now Damien's story, which is funny. But so if you want to be successful in this business, you know, let your sponsor shave off one of your eyebrows. No, don't even let him. Fall asleep and then wake up and discover that your eyebrow is missing. How many people would have an issue with that? I'm going to tell you, that is it's an amazing story because it's all about the relationships. And they didn't even have a great relationship at that point. You know, they were relatively new to each other. But obviously, he's got a sense of humor, and he's confident. He's bold. And he's like, well, this is either going to knock him out of the business or he's going to be rock solid. And I'm sure that's what he wasn't planning on that, but he was just having fun. And that's culture, is what it is. That's culture. You know, he'll never forget that. None of us will, right? And so as a result of them building a relationship and a strong bond, you know, Damien's one of the top people in the marketplace in this area in his organization, a ring earner, a market leader. And because he's a market leader, I got to hang out with him at this volcano crater whirlpool thing the other day, right? So that's because he was doing what he should be doing. And I'm sure he's volunteered. I don't even know his whole story, but I'm sure, you know, he's volunteered and done a lot of things. He's participating. He's an active participant, okay? And it's easy. And you got a lot of volunteers here. And by the way, I want to give all the volunteers a nice round of applause. Because this business is done, and I have a bracelet right here, one of those little rubber bracelets. It says, teamwork makes the dream work. I've been wearing this for almost 20 years, not this exact one. I got several of them. But I believe, it's a philosophy I believe in. Teamwork is what makes the dream work. So, you know, it's easy to, you know, so we appreciate the volunteers, but that's one of the easiest ways to step up your leadership is just, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? And then just keep looking for more. And the philosophy is do more than you get paid for. Eventually, you'll get paid more than what you're doing, okay? And that's just a great work ethic. That's a great philosophy. Just do more than you get paid for. Don't worry about where the money's coming from. Eventually, you're going to end up getting more. You're going to get paid for more than what you're doing, okay? So you know, he stepped up. He's a market leader. We got to hang out, and because he got to hang out with us, or we got to hang out together, he was at this place where he met the volcano. What do you call it again? The crater?
Crater.
The crater. He, while we're in line, in our baggies, he meets this couple. And they get into a great conversation. And then I went into the locker room to put my clothes back on. So I'm in the locker room. I hear Damien out there talking to the lady, who seemed very sharp. The gentleman was also very sharp. I'm not going to go into all the details. But the gentleman came. Damien invited them. He sat down with them yesterday. So the day after, he met with the gentleman, the husband, the boyfriend. He met with him, invited him out. He came this morning, even though he had to be at work at 11:30. Okay, so he came this morning and he brought two people with him. So Damien had three guests here from 2 days ago because he's got his head down and he's engaged and he's an active participant in the business. So that's probably the biggest clue that I can tell you is to be engaged, be an active participant in building your business. You know, some of you know Steve Baker. He's in my organization. He's a group. He's in group. He does group. He recruits a little bit, but not really. He's a groupie, as we say. And I think in the month of December, Steve did 708 memberships, all of which I overrode. Yeah, same situation. That story he just told, let me tell you, those are some great stories. Are you kidding me? I'm back there going, man, I need that to happen to me. And all you have to do is be engaged with the people on your team. Find out who they are, where they work, who do they know. Keep digging because it's out there. It's out there. And so it's similar to Damien's story. Steve Baker's on my team because I had my head down and I was engaged in the business. Years ago, and I don't even know, 15 years maybe, 20 years almost, I'm on the Melia team. You guys know Mike and Steve Melia, Kim Melia. And they were recruiting a lot of people. The organization was recruiting a lot of people. Mike and Steve were, because they had a guy on their team that passed away several years ago. But he was a marketing genius, and he knew how to go into a city, mass market, and get a whole bunch of people to come out to take a look at opportunities. And one of them was prepaid legal back then. And he was recruiting. He'd have a couple hundred people in the room. At the end of the room, people would be running to the back of the room to sign up. So he was bringing in a lot of people, but he couldn't work with them. He wasn't really into the system. He was outside the system. He was bringing people in, but he wasn't in the system. So we were running conference calls to support those people that were coming in, and we were training them. And I was running a lot of those calls, you know, just because I was part of the team. That's something that I was doing. But as a result of that, they ended up placing people in my organization. And they placed a guy named Mark McDonald, who ended up recruiting Steve Baker. So I didn't recruit Steve or Mark. He was placed underneath me, but he's on my team because I had my head down and I was doing what I should be doing, two exposures a day, following the system. I'm on the conference calls. I'm leading the conference calls. So that is probably the biggest tip that I can give you. You have to be engaged. You have to be doing the business, and then you're going to get the results that you want. So I just wanted to reflect on those stories because I'm telling you, those are powerful stories. Damien, and here's the point, Damien couldn't have planned that or figured it out. He couldn't have said, no, you know what? I need to build a solid relationship. I need to not get mad when he shaves my eyebrow off so that I stick around, I plug in, I become a market leader so I can get to hang out with him when he brings in leaders into the marketplace so that I can be at the crater when this other couple, one, the guy was from another state, I think. No, the girl was from another state. The guy lives here, the girl was from another state, and they're going to come on board. And while they're at the spa or at the crater, he says to the guy's in sales, he's interested, and he says, and the girl says, if she gets the membership, she can be the first person. She says, I'll buy this from you. So he's already got his first sale. Yeah, this is all happening while I'm in the locker room. Go Damien, as I'm putting on my clothes, you know. But that's just brilliant. But he couldn't have figured that out. And you'll never figure out how your organization is going to come together. So don't try to figure out how it's going to come together. It's a numbers game, okay? And this is another one that I get from Mike Melia. He says, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a build-wealth-over-time plan. If you talk to enough people, some of them are going to get started. And if you talk to enough, some of them are going to go to work. And if you work with enough people, some of them are going to stick around, and some of them are going to hit a home run. So if you're not where you want to be, and I don't think any of us are, including the leaders in the front of the room, you just need to keep talking to more people. We have to expose more people. That's probably the biggest secret. You can't be a secret agent here. It's not going to work. You have to get, you know, the information in front of people so that they know what's going on. So let me just see, because I did write a note here that I wanted to make sure I covered before I show you, so before I blow your mind, which you've already seen part of the video anyway. All right. Did I save that note or not? Some of us aren't that good with this. Oh, there we go. Okay. So the other thing I want to talk about as I go into my training is and I've been coached this, to get out of your comfort zone. And you want to intentionally get out of your comfort zone every single day, okay? Because there's no opportunity in your comfort zone. You know, the opportunity is outside of your comfort zone. So if you're uncomfortable speaking to new people, you need to change that, okay? You need to figure out a way where you can share this information with people and get outside of your comfort zone so that you can grow. And what will happen is that your comfort zone will expand. So maybe right now you're not comfortable talking to a complete stranger. But if you do that enough, eventually you're going to be like, you know what? They didn't bite my nose off. They didn't yell at me. I actually made a new friend. This isn't that bad. So then you're going to be a little bit more comfortable doing that. And I'm not saying go out and try to expose everybody right away. Okay? One of the things I like to do with some of the people on my team is if they're challenged, if they think it's difficult for them to speak to new people, we'll go out and say, listen, just go up to some people and get a conversation going. And it's easy. It's as easy as getting a skunk cat and walking out in public. I mean, it's that easy. Somebody's going to say something. Dave Savulo, what did he teach us? Just go up to people and say, hey, hi, I'm Dave. What's your name? You know, most people will shake your hand and say, tell you their name. So, and if that's uncomfortable, that's okay. Initially, all you want to do is initiate some conversation. And then what you want to do is find some common ground. Find something that they like to talk about. So, you know, if I met a complete stranger, I find out where they're from. You know, maybe they're from the East Coast, West Coast. If we have something in common, I'm going to keep the conversation right there. What you do? Are you married? Do you have children? Find some common ground there. And once you find the common ground, you stay right there. You don't have to go through the whole list of things. All you're looking is for something that they're going to feel comfortable and like talking about, and you want to ask them questions that they're talking about it. So at the end of the conversation, they've enjoyed the conversation. Okay? So you're just looking for common ground. Maybe it's where you went to school. And, you know, and around here, you know, BYU is a big school. So there's all kinds of ways to find the common ground. What is your goals? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? Where do you vacation? What hobbies do you like? What sports do you like? What teams do you like? There's a million ways. You find a sports, you know, you find a guy that's into football. You find out what team they're on, who's their favorite player. Get them talking about that. They're going to enjoy the conversation. And all you're trying to do is build some rapport to develop a relationship. You're not going to develop the relationship right away. Initially, it's just to start the conversation, develop some rapport, and ultimately what you want is their contact information so you can follow back up with them. Because most people are not going to call you back. You can give them your card. That's a waste of time, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. You can give them your card, and I do give people my card after I got their information. Because if I give it to them first, they'll say, well, I'll send you my information, or I'll check your website out, or something like that. And they're not doing it, because this isn't important to people. They don't know what they don't know, okay? They don't know what you know, which is the whole goal. The whole goal is for you to educate them as far to what you know. You want them to see what you've seen, hear what you've heard, and meet some of the people that you've met. Then they can make an informed decision. So that's your ultimate goal. So you want to develop that rapport, create the rapport, develop the relationship, and then say, listen, I've enjoyed this conversation. I've got to run. And this is quick. This can be within 3 to 5 minutes. So this is not a long deal, okay? As you're exposing people, making a new friend is really what you're doing. And that's what Dave said. Just go out and make a new friend, you know? And then say, listen, I'd really like to follow up with you, or I'd like to talk to you again. I got to run. Let me get your number. And you just put your head down, and it's easy to pull out the prospect app. There's a lot of ways to do this. You can have a piece of paper and write it down if that's convenient, or pull out your phone, put them in your phone. So a lot of times I'll just say, here, put the app, pull out the prospect app, give it to them. Put your contact information in there so I can get back in touch with you, okay? I did that three times this morning. And I said last night, 95% of the time, I get their numbers. One time, I didn't get it this morning. So there was, I did get the contact information from the people that worked there. There was another gentleman there who I'd talked to the night before. But he said, I'd love to share some information with you as far as developing another stream of income. And he says, I'm pretty good. I'm not worried about that. And I didn't focus on the membership, and I ended up not getting his number. But we shook hands. It was all cool. So you're not always going to get their number. But that's okay, because there's a lot of people out there. And, you might not be comfortable doing it. Again, you have to expand your comfort zone. That's where the opportunity is, okay? And so that's what I want to say on that. So with that in mind, getting out of your comfort zone, you've seen the ladder that I dove off of. And I used to be a professional high diver. I traveled around the world for 14 years doing this right out of college. I lived in Hong Kong for, I think, 10 years. No, maybe it was 14 years we lived in Hong Kong. And that's where our company was based. My company was based. We formed a company in Hong Kong for high diving. We called the American High Diving Eagles, and then we had another company Well, we had Worldwide Aquatics and Worldwide Productions, but our team was the American High Diving Eagles. And, you know, it's the whole story, and I'm going to try and say it as quick as I can. You know, when I was young, as a young black man or black boy, I heard stories that black people couldn't swim. Now, anybody else hear that story? Anybody else hear that? You know what? And a lot of people listened to that and believed it and never even tried to learn how to swim because they heard that. And that's just one example. We've all heard. And a lot of things were told to us by our parents that have just been put into our head to the point where I'm not even going to try that because, you know, black people can't swim or whatever. Whatever it is. You know, there's a million different that happened to me. But by the time I'd heard that, I was already on a swim team. I was like, well, that can't be true because I'm black and I'm swimming. So I didn't even, like, that just went in one ear and out the other for me. I was fortunate. Now, had I not learned how to swim, I was like, well, I'm not even going to try that. My friend, he sinks. He can't swim. You know, yeah, I'm not going to try it. But that didn't happen to me. And I went from being a young black kid that heard that but did learn how to swim and actually was on a swim team and tied the national record when I was 8 years old, okay, to becoming a professional high diver, the second black high diver that, you know, as far as the history of it goes. And I had a great mentor who taught me a lot of life lessons, Rick White, who passed away a couple of years ago. But, you know, if I wasn't brought up to get out of my comfort zone, try new things, I would have never gotten to where I was. Never. It couldn't have been possible. Okay. But it was just like, I don't really listen to what other people say. You know, if I see somebody else do it and it looks like it's fun, I'm going to try and do it. As long as it's safe. And I like to see an example. I like to see somebody else do it. Like, now that I've seen somebody go up and pet a moose, I'm still not sure I'm going to go up and pet a moose. But I know it's possible. I do know it's possible, you know. So to go from hearing as a youngster that black people can't swim to diving from a ladder that's 130 feet in the air, which is equivalent to the 13th floor of a building, and being as comfortable as I'm standing right here, right now. That's the cool part. And now, if I went to do that now, oh, I'd be shaking in my pants, let me tell you. But I got to a point where I went from 1 foot off the ground to 130 feet off the ground. And how do you do that? You do it one step at a time. It's a huge goal, and I'm telling you this, so I want you to think bigger with your business, with everything, really. But I want you to think bigger. And John Gardner is always telling us, you're not thinking big enough, okay? So you have to think bigger. And so I went from, you know, basically teaching myself how to dive to getting a coach in college to becoming an All-American to seeing a high-diving show. See, I could have never scripted this either because I didn't set out to be a professional high diver, live in Hong Kong, and work in 22 countries around the world. But what happened after I graduated college, as an All-American, one of my friends had a brother that was in a high-diving show at a big amusement park in New Jersey, a Six Flags park. We went to go see it, and I was blown away. I was so nervous when my friend's friend did the high dive that I was shaking in the stands because I knew I was considering learning how to do this. I already knew how to dive from 1 and 3 meter, a little bit from 10 meter, which is 30 feet, but the high dive there was 90 feet. And it was like, this is crazy, you know? But to go from that to being completely comfortable standing there at 130 feet going, yeah, I got this, you know, it still blows my mind, you know? And how did I do that? One step at a time. And how do you learn how to do a high dive from 130 feet? You start at 10 feet, then you go to 20 feet, then you go to 30 feet. You get comfortable at 30 feet, you go to 40 feet. You get comfortable at 40 feet, 50 feet's just right there, go up to 50 feet. And the next thing you know, you're up at 90 feet going, how the hell did I get up here? But it's just 10 feet higher than 80 feet, and I was comfortable. I did the dives at 80 feet, and I was comfortable, so this isn't much different. And it's amazing what you can do, okay, just by getting out of your comfort zone, taking on a big goal one step at a time, thinking of the results, thinking of the possibilities, not the problems. You don't focus on the problems. And this is what you want to coach people because, you know, as you expose people, they're going to be like, oh, I can't do this. Like, you know, they're focused on problems, why they can't do this, that, or the other thing. Think on the possibilities because they can. It's just a decision to change the direction that you're going in, okay? So I'm going to show you this. And what I want you to focus on is the height of the ladder. The video starts at the bottom, right at the pool level, and it goes up the ladder pretty quickly. And I'm going to tell you something. The impressive part to me about this dive or this whole video is that I built the ladder without a crane. So the ladder was 200 feet tall. It was a triangle ladder like an antenna with those radio towers. And we actually put a base plate on the bottom of the pool, which was about 18 feet deep, and brought the ladder right up out of the pool. 10-foot sections. I'll tell you later how I did it, but without a crane, which was, and I'm not an engineer. And that was just from learning, from doing these shows, how you set up the ladder, to me eventually owning my own show with two other partners, buying our own equipment, building our own ladders, having somebody build the ladders, and then putting them together. So check this out. 130, I'm not sure what I'm pushing here. I guess this. There we go. I think. So this is in Hong Kong at a place called Ocean Park. And that's me. And that's 130 feet in the air. Fei Ying Sing Song. That was Mr. Flying Eagle in Chinese. Now, my knees are taped, as you can see. This is about a 3-minute video. I'm not going to show the whole thing. I am going to show the dive. I taped my legs, my knees, because one of the biggest injuries you can have, you want to go in feet first of all, from that height. You don't want your legs to go like that, okay, for obvious reasons, right? First of all, the main reason, your knees don't bend that way. And you don't want to, you don't want to get an enema either, you know? That was a sway pole. This is my office in Hong Kong, literally. And I was very proud to be an American High Diving Eagle. That was my sneaker that I threw down. Yeah. Because it was in April, it was chilly. So I wore my jacket up there. I wore my shoes up there because I didn't want to be up there and be cold. And once you climb up that high, you take your breath. You got to catch your breath because that's climbing up to 130 feet. You know, that takes some energy. All right. So let me just see if I can drag this forward. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't see it. Okay. Now, while I'm up there, here's another great lesson. And I talked about this last night when I was in the Nationals and fell off the diving board my first year of the Nationals, disqualifying myself out of the competition. I took myself out of the competition because I wasn't thinking about what I should have been thinking about. Okay? I had stinking thinking, as we say. I was thinking negative thoughts. What if this happens? What if that happens? I hope this doesn't happen. Oh, and all that stuff happened because that's what I was thinking about. Up here, I am late. Look at that. I'm standing there without holding on, too. That's how confident I am. The perch is only about 15 square inches, okay? And I'm 130 feet in the air. That's a ship going by that was actually blowing to me, but I was so laser focused, and that's the only thing I regret, that I didn't acknowledge the ship as it was going by. But I was like laser focused here, thinking about exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to jump off strong, set the dive, stay nice and tight, make it look pretty, come around, see the water, make my adjustment so I land vertical and stay tight as possible because this is the hard. I didn't even know if I could handle the impact, to be honest with you. The salt water is more dense than fresh water. So 130 feet, again, one step at a time, working your way up. This is what the possibilities are. And I show you this to remind you that you could do great things as well. I got so excited, I didn't stop talking for a week straight. I am so serious. So, that was our show, the High Diving Eagles. We had the springboards, we had the mini trampolines up there, 10 meter. Normally our high dive was on that side of the pool. We had another ladder that went up there, but the pool wasn't that wide. So from 130 feet, we weren't jumping because you'd have landed in like the 20th row on the stand. So we put the ladder on the other end of the pool. So there was no way you could miss the pool. You know, you want to land in the water when you're doing high dives. That's rule number one, land in the water. So, and that was back in 1986. But prior to that, you know, I got involved in high diving in 77. And, you know, I learned quickly. I was... You know, it's easy to learn something that you like doing, you know. I was talking with, what was the guy's name, Nate. He's very passionate. He's got some passion about all kinds of things. You know, it's easy to get involved when you like something. So I was into this, and my second year, I was invited to go to the cliff diving competition in Acapulco, Mexico. Some of you may have seen that on TV. And you know, I wanted to be a champion. I wanted to be a world, and I wanted to be on TV. That was one of my goals. I wanted to get on TV, and I wanted to be a champion. So I got invited down there, went down there the second year, or my second year in the high diving business. So I'm still kind of a rookie. I mean, this is my second year in the business. I had only worked once the summer before that. Get down to Acapulco, which was an invitation-only competition. So it wasn't like just because you were a high diver, you could go get into the competition. You had to be invited to even go down there to participate in the qualifying rounds to get into the final rounds. And the Mexican clavadistas had their team, and we had a team from America. So the first year I went down there, and I did well. I thought I should have won, but I got second place. And one of my good friends, Craig Lesser, beat me, which still we still go back and forth that I should have beat you. He said, no, you shouldn't have beat me. But what happened was, and this is something right out of Think and Grow Rich. If you've ever read Think and Grow Rich, 13 things that the wealthiest people in the world have in common. The number one thing was a white-hot burning desire to reach whatever goal they wanted, okay? And I didn't know this stuff back then. But what happened with me was when I lost, and I considered it losing because I didn't win the first place. I got second place. I was mad. I was very mad because I wanted to win, and I thought I did a good enough job to win. So right then and there, the white-hot fire was lit in my heart, and I said, I'm coming back next year, and I'm winning, period. I'm going to figure it out. And I get emotional when I think about this. I've turned into emotional sap, I say myself. I really have. Because, you know, my mother passed away last year in February, and she had a great life. She was 91, I think it was. And that filled up my emotional well, okay? And it was already full. So now anything emotional, like the well's already full. So anything that goes in there, you know, the stuff just comes out. Which I'm okay with now, you know. I'm a man that I'm okay with crying and all that. I don't like to get all emotional in front of the room, but sometimes, you know, that just happens, you know. But I got so mad that I said, I'm coming back next year and I'm winning, period. And my friend said, okay, all right. And literally everything I did for the next year was with the goal in mind to come back and win. And long story short, I came back the next year and I won. And my friends were like I did an easy dive the first year, a front somersault. The second year, I said, I got to separate myself away from everybody else. So I learned a different dive, which you're going to see, that no one had ever done off the cliffs. And as I was going down to the cliff to do my final dive, and when I did this dive, you're going to see I was in a three-way tie for first place. And my friends were saying, you know what? He's taking and in practice, I'd practiced my dive, but you know, in competition, you want to peak in the competition. You don't do your best dive in practice and do a worst dive in the competition. So the whole idea was to have saved the best dive when you were being judged. And as I went down to the cliffs to do this dive, my friends later told me that they were saying, man, he should have just done the flying front. He would have probably won. He's trying that double, interrupted double, which was a lot more risky. It was a harder dive, and there was no reward for degree of difficulty, okay? So I didn't get, there was no incentive to try to do a harder dive because there was no degree of difficulty. Nowadays, there's degrees of difficulty, so there's a multiplying factor. But in this competition, there wasn't. But I knew that I still wanted, in the judge's mind, I wanted to do a little bit more so that I got a better reward. Now, you still had to do the dive well, and as you'll see, this was the dive that did it. This was on Wide World of Sports.
And now one of the big guns for the United States, Chip Humphrey, a man who began to dive at 13.
Ignore
he won
the
championship in 1979, and this was the dive that did it. Humphrey had to have a big one. 1979,
there
watch this one.
Hesitation. Oh, a great dive!
And almost a perfect dive for Chip Humphrey. He knew it exactly when he came up out of the water.
What a beauty from Chip Humphrey.
Fans knew it. And look at the scores. 4 10s and a 9, and that clinched first place back in 1979.
Yeah, there's a good story about that. That's the happiest moment of my life, pretty much, right up until that point. Because I'd set a high goal. And it's cool when you set a high goal and you make it happen, you know? And what was cool about this, in midair, like, I'd practice the dive, and Acapulco is a unique situation because, you know, you can be a comfortable and a confident high diver just diving off of a ladder into a pool, which the pool's right there. But Acapulco, you had to go out 27 feet so that you had to go out about 20 feet just to miss the rocks, and 27 feet so you can hit the rocks that were right in the water underneath there. So it was a different takeoff. It was different mechanics because your priority is to land in the deep water, which was only between 8 and 12 feet deep, depending on the wave that you caught when it came into that gorge. So there's all kinds of factors. Not only are you're up there, you're doing this dive, you got to push out as hard as you can, you got to watch the waves coming in. So One wave comes in and it washes up on the rocks. And then as that one sucks back out and the next one comes in, the gorge fills up. That's when you want to go, because that's going to be the deepest water. So you had to time the whole thing. And when I took off on this dive, I was so confident. I take off, and in midair, when I kicked out, because my primary goal was to make sure I'm away from the rocks. Because if you're not, you got trouble, right? And in midair, I was like, I got it, because I knew I had enough rotation to finish the dive, and I was going to be away from the rocks. So I didn't celebrate in midair, but I was like, oh, you're on it. You're right where you want to be. Psh, psh, done. Came up, waved, because now you got to see what the judges say, you know. And the lady that gave me a 9, I'm not going to play it again, but if you noticed, the first thing she does is she turns around. She looks to see what everybody else gave me. And then later she told me, you know, I wanted to give you a 10, but I was too scared. I said, then you shouldn't even be a judge. You know, how are you going to be a judge and you're scared to give a 10 if you think the person deserves a 10? But I ended up winning that competition anyway. And it was just another great lesson to me. After I've been involved in personal development, how strong that burning desire can take you to where you want to go. So that's why we always talk about the why in Legal Shield, okay? Why are you in this business? And your why should be strong enough to put tears in your eyes. You know, maybe you want to take your spouse on a vacation every month. Maybe you want to change your zip code or change your car, put your kids in private school, whatever it is. And you want to have a why, you have to think bigger and bigger. You know, initially my why was to make $500 to $1,000 a month. Now it's $100,000 a month. Now it's to help other people generate a six-figure income from home on a part-time basis. You know, those are good reasons to do this business. So, again, I show you that stuff to encourage you to think bigger, because you're not thinking big enough. And everybody, there's greatness in all of us, okay? But we have to think big. We have to dig it out of ourselves. I was sharing with the gentleman in the back there a video that I watch almost every morning. I saw it on YouTube. It's on my Facebook page. What's the guy's name again? Rick Rigsby, is it? Rick Rigsby. He does a great speech. I forget where he was at. It was a commencement speech. And it's a lesson that he learned from his father, who was a third grade dropout. Just really be the best. Just work on being the best you can be. You know. And if you really do that, which involves personal development, associating with the right people, plugging into things like the training and the leadership that you have, if you work on being the best person you can be, really what you can do is pretty much unlimited. You know, we limit ourselves right up here. That's the problem with most people. We limit ourselves because of the thoughts that we hold on to. Because, you know, excellence and success is a habit. It's not an act. So it's the things that you do consistently that are going to make you great. So I'm going to go into the 10 core commitments, because this is what I've been doing for the last 20 years, okay? The 10 core commitments. And you guys know what these are if you've been around for a while, all right? I'm gonna spend a little bit more time on some of them than I am on the others, but they're all very important. The first one, start each day the right way. And, you know, I'm not going to ask you if the first thing you do is turn on the TV and watch the news, because that's not the way you should start the day, in my opinion. Because there's nothing but a lot of negativity out there. You put on the news, you're going to see who got killed last night and all that other nonsense. You don't want to fill your mind with that right away, if you fill it with it at all. You want to control how your day gets started, and so that you're focused on the things that you want to accomplish that day. Because if you don't know what the three main things you want to accomplish that day, they're not going to get done, because you're not even focused on them. So it says, state your personal affirmation, set your goals every day, review and work your to-do list. Okay? Now, Steve Melia put out a book called 30 Ways in 30 Days. And one of the chapters is how to start your day. And some of the coaching that I've learned from Steve is, and it says it right there, state your personal affirmations. Okay? So I have 3.5 pages of affirmations that I read every morning. Front and back of three and a half pages. One, two, I don't know how many pages. There's three pieces of paper, front and back on two of them. But there's a lot of affirmations. My first affirmation I say every day is I'm alive, I'm awake, and I look and feel great. I love Mother Nature, and Mother Nature loves me. I love God, and God loves me. I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. And I love the universe, and the universe loves me. And it does. And then I go on from there, but I read them. I keep saying that stuff to myself. Great things are going to happen to my business. I love it when things work out in my favor, even when I don't realize it until later. You know, you put that stuff into your head, I'm going to tell you, this stuff works. This stuff works, and I've learned it by just because of what I've done with myself, okay? And again, the high diving, thinking the right thoughts. And that's risky. Talking to somebody, a stranger, you're not going to get hurt. You know, if you let your feelings get hurt, okay, you can get your feelings hurt if you let them get hurt. But physically, you're not going to get injured talking to somebody. That was risky, okay, that you could die doing that. But, and so I'm and obviously I'm a risk taker, as is Dave. But so that's getting out of your comfort zone. Not crazy. I didn't go to the top of the ladder and say, let's see how this works. No, that would have been stupid. But I worked my way up, controlling what I was doing on the way up, slowly getting a little bit more out of my comfort zone, a little bit more out of my comfort zone, till you're going, dag, how did I go from there to there? One step at a time, you know, and with confidence. I mean, and you do something like that, you want to be confident. When you start getting out of your comfort zone as you're exposing new people, you'll gain more confidence. You're like, this isn't as hard as I thought it was. You know, I like complimenting people, and that's something we learned from Dave Savula, which is easy to do. I can look at anybody and give them something, you know, say something nice about them. There was a lady here with all the purple. She's in the back with the purple shirt and the necklace and the earrings. I commented on her. That's right, I'm talking about you again. You know, just commenting. She's got the purple thing going on. You're looking royal and everything. And people feel good when you give them a genuine compliment. And they have to be genuine. You don't want to make stuff up, you know. Yeah, because that's not, you have to be genuine when you do these things. So start out by stating your affirmations, okay? Reading 10 pages of a good book in the morning, at least 10 pages of a good book. It doesn't have to be in the morning. You should do personal development every day. However, I like to do it in the morning. Get that good information coming into my mind. Listening to somebody like Rick Rigsby, that just inspires me to go out and try to be the best that I can be. Or to be the best that I can be, okay? The other thing we do is write down 3 to 5 wins that you had the day before. So 3 to 5 things that you accomplished the day before, because you want to celebrate your success. And it may not be that you reached the goal, but maybe you did 2 exposures, or maybe you met 2 new people, okay? That's something that you should celebrate. And if you have an organization, you want to celebrate the progress and the steps that people are making. Hey, you did a PBR the other day. You invited 10 people. Nobody showed up. Congratulations. You did the right activity. Let's schedule another one, invite some more people, and maybe we'll get some people to come. Because you're doing the right activity. So you celebrate the steps, the progress that our people are making. And you guys had some great recognition here. You celebrate the progress because eventually the results will bear out. Okay? The other thing you want to do is write down 3 to 5 things that you want to accomplish that day. Particularly the top 3 goals that are your priority for the day. Start out in the morning so that you know what they are. Write them down. Okay, I'm going to recruit 1 person today, or I'm going to talk to 10 brand new people today, or I'm going to call on 5 new businesses today. I'm going to make at least 1 small B2B appointment today. Whatever it is, I'm going to spend some quality time, an hour quality time with my children today, playing whatever game it is they like to play. Whatever it is, make sure you identify your 3 priorities for the day. So now you've put it in your head. The more things you put into your head, the more it's going to come back to you, so you're going to get those things done. As opposed to, you know, just going out and starting your day by watching CNN or Fox News or something else that's just, you know, it's a bunch of nonsense. You have no control over it. You know, I met this gentleman I went to a Summit of Greatness conference in Ohio in September. That's where I met Eric Thomas, who I was talking to him about. And this was put on by a guy by the name of Lewis Howes. And there I met a gentleman named Jay Shetty, who's an English-born Indian guy who was, he was a college partier. Then he decided to become a monk, became a monk for 3 years, which he was going to do for the rest of his life. But then the monks told him he'd be better off not being a monk, go back out into the world and talk about what we do as monks, which is what he did. His goal is to spread wisdom virally. If you've never heard of Jay Shetty, S-H-E-T-T-Y, listen to him. He's brilliant. His goal is to spread wisdom virally. Okay, and one of the things he said is, listen, and one of his mentors told him, you know, how many people know people that worry about stuff? I'm not asking if you worry about stuff, because I don't recommend worrying about anything. My mother used to worry about everything, and I learned from that not to worry about anything, because she'd worry about, like, the day that's never going to come. It's like, Mom, why worry about it, you know? And if you worry about something, if you can control it, why are you worrying about it? Control it, fix it, do what needs to be done so you don't have to worry about it. And if you can't control it, why are you worrying about it? You have no control over it. So it doesn't even make sense to worry, in my opinion. okay? And that's one of the messages that I learned from Jay Shetty, okay? So we want to start the day the right way. You want to get the day started the right way so you know what you're going after. You've read your goals. You've written your three goals that you're going to do. You've written 3 to 5 wins that you did the day before. You've read your affirmations, and hopefully you've done your personal development. Some people like to meditate. I haven't started meditating yet because I have a hard time sitting still. I'm ADHD on steroids, you know. But that's something that I'm going to incorporate as well because I know that's, I've heard that's good for you. It's good relaxing. It's good exercise. I just haven't got it going yet. But that's something else that people like to do, meditate. That's a good way to start your day. And then you start your day, okay? So you've controlled it. Drinking, you know, a lot of 12 ounces of water is a great way to start your day. I have a friend of mine, Linda, what's her name in Georgia? She's on Darnell's team. I can't remember, but she doesn't get out of bed. She doesn't put her feet on the ground until she drinks 16 ounces of water in the morning. That's a great habit, right? Because most of us are dehydrated, believe it or not. All right? So start your day right. Don't start your day by watching the news or checking your email, because now all of a sudden you're reacting to things that are out there. Oh, I got to do this. You're basically being controlled by other people. You dictate how you're going to do your day. You dictate what's most important so that you go into your day with your top three priorities and you know what they are. So that's the first thing. You want to start your day right and you want to stay connected. Number two is stay connected. Okay? Communication is very, very important. You know, just look at how much technology has changed recently. You know, if you're in the technology field, you're probably constantly doing continuing education because stuff changes almost overnight, right? And in LegalShield, things change. You know, things are not the same as they were 2 years ago, 3, 4 years ago. We didn't even have the apps. So you have to stay connected so you know what the heck is going on. This is a brand new year. We have a brand new briefing. We have a brand new Fast Start training class, brand new first step document. We've got the Success Channel. You need to know because your goal, in my opinion, my goal is to build a large organization. And you can't work, I can't work with a whole lot of people, maybe 20 to 30 people. After that, it's just too many. But if they plug into the system, right, and they're all, and this is a big part of the system, a Super Saturday. You get your team plugging into this, they're getting trained by me, okay? And Ted Ma next month, not you. And it's not always going to be Dave Hall, you know. It's unfortunate, you know, I have the same, when you get the ring and everything, you get some respect, but it's kind of taken for granted in your own marketplace, and I'm sure that happens here. In my marketplace, it happens there. It happens everywhere. You go somewhere else, you're a rock star. You go back home, you're nobody. Not that you're trying to be anybody, but you're just trying to help everybody else, okay? So you need to recognize, you know, what you have here. Don't take it for granted. There's a lot of marketplaces, there's no ring earners. Nobody's killing it. People are trying, but there's no examples in the front of the room. You have that, so you can bring people here and introduce them to all these folks that are successful in the small business arena, recruiting, building, you know, teams all around the country. You know, all you have to do is plug people into that. So you got to stay connected. Otherwise, you don't even know what's going on. And we've got some great tools to stay connected. We've got the leadership show on Sundays. I believe it's 8 p.m. Eastern time. I don't know what time that is out here. 6 p.m. So you want to watch that every Sunday. You want your team to watch that every Sunday. The Monday Night Momentum Show. You want to watch that. So you know, your team is getting trained. Again, you know, as your team grows outside of Salt Lake City and outside of Utah and Idaho and Montana, around the country, they're plugging in. They're getting the same information that you are. So, and now their team is growing because they're plugged into the system. Listen to your team calls. A lot of us are doing Zoom calls now, and I have a disaster story to tell you about that, not here. oh boy. But the Zoom conferencing is a phenomenal tool. Oh, no, I can't. All right, we did a Zoom conference call, and first of all, I did the first one in the Amelia organization. I'm about the least technological savvy person on the team. But nobody else was stepping up, and I said, all right, I'll do the first one. And, you know, 2 minutes before, I can't even get on the call myself. And then it's time to start, and I've got the whole call set up, and I can't get in. And I got the computer looking at me, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. All of a sudden, I went, oh, and I dropped a big, bad word. And then I'm like, oh, I hope this isn't working, because I might have just started a conference call with a big, bad word. But it wasn't working. I finally did get it working. So it did work out. But we did one, and... You know, Somebody put something on there very, very, very inappropriate. And I wasn't running the call. I had somebody else, like they were the, whatever you call it, the what?
Moderator.
And I was just, they you know, I was the one doing the training. And so all of a sudden people were like, Chip, end it. Shut it down. Shut it down. And all I did was click leave meeting, and that just kicked me out of the meeting. But the girl that was running it, she ended it because it was just like, oh my gosh. You know, and then the next time we did a Zoom call, I'm looking at everybody going, who do I think did it? Who looks like they did it? Oh, it was a mess. It was a hot mess. Now we've got control who can put stuff on there because we didn't know what we were doing, you know. So, yeah, it was very fun. It wasn't funny at the time. We can laugh at it now. All right. So, but you want to participate. You want to get your team on those calls because that's how they get information. You're going to get recognition there. You're going to get training there. All right. Read the Legal Shield newsletter, associate newsletter, and follow the Legal Shield social channels, which is an area I need to pick up on. Now, how many people have to pick up their involvement on social media besides me? Yeah. I'm in the process of branding myself, so I've got to do the LinkedIn thing, which I don't really understand LinkedIn. I know you can connect with people, but I really don't know how. Okay? I do have a Facebook page. I do some Facebook Lives, but I need to get that so that I really, you know, can use it so that I can have a bigger footprint, a bigger impact on people, and I can connect with more people. And I did one the other day, I think it was in December, late December, just on a spur of the moment, and I have a friend of mine that's in California. Her father was partners with me in the high diving. She's in Sweden right now, coming back tomorrow. She says, Chip, we need to talk. I'm like, oh, you're right, we need to talk, you know, because she's intrigued by the stuff I've been putting on Facebook. So I know there's a lot of good ways to communicate with people. Some people are excellent at it. Instagram, the same thing. My son texted me this morning, you need to put those videos on Instagram. I said, yeah, as soon as I learn how to do it, I'm going to do that. I got one picture on Instagram so far. But I'm going to get that. That's my goal for this year for sure, is to use those platforms because it just makes it so much easier. I mean, you put something on there. Like, I'm on the ski lift yesterday with Kevin. I do a Facebook Live, and pretty soon, there's people jumping in. I'm like, how do they know I'm doing this? You know, and I guess there's just people sitting out there looking on Facebook, just waiting for people to jump on. I don't know what's going on. But all I know is people come on there that I didn't expect, and now I'm having a conversation with them, or I'm showing them what I'm doing, and I can pique their interest, okay? So that's another good thing to do, all right? So you have to stay connected, okay? Number three, do 2 to 5 exposures daily. This is where the rubber meets the road. If you're not doing this, you're not in business, okay? It's as simple as that. If you're, you know, if you were at McDonald's and didn't have hamburgers, how long do you think you're going to stay in business? Not very long. People want their hamburgers. They want their Big Mac. They want their quarter pounder, okay? You have something that people need, and it's not even, I think it's a responsibility. It's an obligation for us to go out and share this with people. And I was talking with somebody earlier, you know, when they're very close to you, I think it was Nate, Deanne's guest. When they're very close to you, they don't listen. It's harder for them to listen. It's like when you're trying to teach your child something, and maybe it's not for you, but this was for me. You know, my kids didn't listen to me as much, but they'd listen to the swim coach, and I'd be telling them the same thing. Then they come back and say, look what the coach taught me. I was like, I've been telling you that for 3 weeks. But they're not listening because you're too close to them. It's a dynamic that's, it's not hard to understand. It's interesting. Third party, okay? It's very interesting. But do 2 to 5 exposures every single day, okay? And like I said, if I did 2 exposures a day, I've been in performance club the whole time because I've done 2 exposures a day. And that's with a full-time job as a teacher and an assistant principal. And as a teacher, it was busy. As an assistant principal, it was, you know, nights, weekends, the whole nine yards. It didn't stop, okay? But I looked at it like there's 3,000 kids at the high school. Most of them have 2 parents. There's 6,000 right there. A lot of people to talk to. So when I'm at the football game, what am I doing? I mean, I'm supervising, but I'm looking for people that I can talk to, engage. Oh, I know your son, da-da-da-da-da-da. Last night I told them I suspended a kid from school for 10 days and recruited his father. True story. Suspended him for 10 days because he deserved it. I got to do what I got to do. I'm not messing up because you messed up. But, Dad, I can help you make some extra money. So how many people have a job? And you probably are very careful about talking to people about Legal Shield there because, you know, you don't want to lose your job because you've been talking to people about Legal Shield. But I think it's perfectly legitimate, and this is what I would do. I would say, hey, Dave, you know, maybe he's a teacher that I'm evaluating, which is even a different, that's a whole nother dynamic. And I've had a teacher complain to me that I didn't give them good marks because they didn't get the legal plan. I was like, okay, first of all, Mr. Principal, that's a bunch of baloney, so I'm not even entertaining the conversation. Yes, I offered them the legal plan. No, they didn't get it, but that has nothing to do with what they're doing in the classroom. So I knew what I was doing. But what I'll do is say, Dave, listen, I don't know if you keep your options open. I know you're not making, I know what you're making as a teacher. If you keep your options open, would you like, can I show you some information on a way to develop another stream of income, just like I've done, which is going to help me retire early? He says, sure. Okay, give me your cell phone number. He gives it to me. Can I call you tonight after work? Yes. Bam, we're done. I call him tonight after work. I'm not doing anything bad on the job. And this is with you if you have a job, because I didn't go into the computer to get his information. He gave it to me. This is water cooler talk. And, you know, maybe I want his kids to babysit my kids. Nobody's going to get upset about that at the job. Or maybe, you know, his kids do snow plowing. You know, I want him to come plow my driveway. Nobody's going to get upset for you talking like that. But so you don't try to recruit the people out of work, but you want to let them know what the possibilities are. You can get their contact information from them, talk to them later after business hours. Does that make sense? And that's something that we can all do. And I found teachers to be not the easiest group to recruit from, to be honest with you. You know, I've only recruited a handful. I don't know that there's any profession. It's the same with everybody. You know, you got all kinds of people in all kinds of categories. You know, you got good people, you got bad people. You know, it's like the bell curve, you know. And you're just looking for the people that are ambitious, that have a burning desire for more in life, and that have some kind of a passion and a work ethic. You know, if they have those three, well, the three qualities are burning desire, willing to work, and they're coachable. If they have those three qualities, then you've got somebody, right? And especially those that are passionate about something. Because if you can shift that passion into our membership, once they've used it and had some good results or heard some good stories, you've got somebody that can go to work, okay? You got a Damian Sheber, right? See, I got the name right. So use third-party approaches. This is a biggie. You have to take you out of the equation as much as possible. Because as you expose brand new people, they're going to be looking at you and saying, they're going to ask themselves three questions. Can I do what you're doing? Do I want to do what you're doing? And do I have the time to do what you're doing? Would I do that to my family, friends, and neighbors? Do I have the time? And can I do it? And if you keep it simple, and if you keep it third party, and you keep it quick, they're going to say yes to all those three things. You meet somebody, you get their contact information, you send them a link. And then they're going to say, well, can I do what he just did? Yeah, I can talk to somebody. I can give them a link. You know, I can do this. As opposed to me meeting somebody and spending a half an hour with them trying to explain the whole situation, the whole membership to them, which could sound great to them, but they're going to say, oh, that sounds great. That service sounds awesome, but I don't have time to learn all that stuff you just said. I don't have 30 minutes to spend with everybody I talk to, so I can't do this. So I've effectively taken them out of the business. But if I expose them where it's, you know, 3 to 5 minutes quick, hey, you know, I know you're busy, you're real sharp, I'm looking for sharp people in this area. You mind if I give you some information later on to see if I'm working on a project and we're trying to expand in this area, we're looking for sharp people, you look like a real sharp person, are you a sharp person? You know, bam, you just have fun with it. Some things will work, some things won't work. Don't worry about that. We don't worry about anything, remember? You just keep doing it. And I've had some terrible exposures. I freaked out a lady at a gas station one time. I felt bad for her, you know, because I hadn't done my exposures. And Michelle said, you need to go back out and not do two. Now you need to do four. And I did. I got dressed. It was 10 o'clock at night. Went back out, went to a gas station, and freaked this lady out. I was like, here, can you want us? She's like, whoa. But I went out. The point is, I went back out and did the exposures. Now, if you're going to do exposures, you want to do good exposures or you want to do bad exposures? You want to do good exposures, right? So you'll get better at it the more you do. And believe me, it'll be seamless. Just like Damian yesterday, standing in line, engaged during a conversation, had three guests out here 2 days ago. Now he has three guests out here this morning. And I expect the guy to get started and the other people to get started too. You want to expect what you want too. Don't, you know, that's again the thinking, the stinking thinking. Don't think, oh, this person won't get started. Don't think the negative things. Think the positive things. Think possibility thinking. Don't think of the problems, think of the solutions, okay? All right, let's see here. This is an old one. Z-Card, we're done with that. Sizzle calls, we got websites. Build a long-distance team. So you want to expose people in your marketplace, but then you also want to expose people outside of your marketplace, okay? Because you don't want everybody on your team in Utah. You know, because like if a big snowstorm comes and blankets the whole place and you all are frozen for a month, you know, business could slow down. You want business in Idaho, in Montana, in California, in San Antonio, and San Antonio, all over the country. So one of the things, you want to send out at least one long distance package or contact, at least one a week, okay? 2 to 5 exposures a day, but at least one long distance every week. And now with the internet, it's simple to find people all over the place. I mean, even I can find people all over the place. So that, I know you can as well. And that helps you as your team grows. Again, they're plugging into the system, which is critical, right? And because of the system, they can grow, they can flourish, they can benefit, and they can be successful. The fourth core commitment, attend weekly briefings with a guest. With a guest is the most important. Now, you want to show up even if you don't have a guest, but it's much better to show up with a guest. You know, if you show up week after week laughing, listening to Dave's jokes, you know, eventually they're not as funny, right? But you still got to laugh. You're playing team. Because, yeah, right. They're still very funny. He's pretty funny. And I love funny people. I do. I love funny people because I like to laugh. That's one of the, like, you know, I'm all about having fun, and I love laughing. So, but by coming to the briefing, you know, if you come to the briefing for 10 weeks in a row with no guests, you know, you're the one that's back there trying to stay awake. It's not as exciting for you. But if you've got a guest at every briefing, believe me, you're going to be excited. You're going to be sitting up in the front of the room. You're going to be nodding, hey, you hear that? You know, isn't that good? Make sure you pay attention, you know. Not talking, but just keeping focused on what's going on in the front of the room. So this is something that we all need to get better at, bringing out a guest a week. Now, I had several people that were going to come today, and that none of them made it. But that's just an excuse for me now to follow up with them. I had made 2 good exposures this morning. Another guy, Eddie, that's in San Antonio, but he comes up here. He works in Sandy at some, he's a finance manager. And I expect him to take a look at the information, at the very least end up getting the membership. But I did develop a good rapport with him and a little bit of a relationship in the 2 days, 3 days that I've been here. I've only actually talked to him twice at the hotel, okay? So you want to work to bring a guest out. I've got 2 guests actually coming out to my Super Saturday recruiting event in Melbourne, Florida today, which will be from 4 to 8 p.m. I've got 1 down in Fort Lauderdale coming out. And when I finish here, since I'll still have time, I'm going to be working on getting more people out, okay? Because I've got my contacts that are in my prospect app that I can follow back up with. I've got them separated by city. And attend the event after the event. These guys do a great job here, okay? And I can't say that enough because it's not the same in every marketplace. I can tell you that right now. And I know that Mike Melia says that, you know, these guys host people better than, and I will agree with him. I've never been hosted better than anywhere I've gone. And I've been around the country several times as far as being hosted. You guys, and I'm going to give you another round of applause, do a great job here, all of you. One of the best things I got here was this morning, this chapstick. I needed that. But no, seriously. Because that's teamwork. Again, that's teamwork. So you guys, you've got, if you're not a volunteer here, you're not a market leader yet, that's okay. But you've got a team that's working to help you build your business. All you have to do really is start bringing people. Bring more people. I can't remember the lady's name. Linda, same story. She got the $100,000 ring. I can't believe I can't remember her story. Linda Gray, that's who it is. Linda Gray. She's on Darnell Telf's team. One of his Millionaire Club members, $100,000 ring earners, does not like to get in front of the room at all, but built a $100,000 business by bringing people to the briefing. That's all she did. Bring people to the briefing. Bring people to the briefing. The team grew. She's making $100,000 a year. And now occasionally she does get up in front of the room, which is way out of her comfort zone, but she's grown into that. Okay? So the event after the event is where the camaraderie comes together, where the team comes together, where the relationships are formed. Okay? Damien and Dave wouldn't be as tight, I'm sure, if they weren't hanging out together. Okay? I'm serious. And that's important. So those of you that attend, you want to attend, and it's not about, you know, buying the food or, you know, some marketplaces they'll drink. It's not about that. It's just about going and socializing. Maybe you just get some water, but you get the chance to pick Dave's brains, Dan's brains. Damien's brains, any of the leaders, you get to pick their brains, or the guest speakers that are coming in. You've got Ted Ma coming in next week or next month for a Super Saturday. You want to go, Ted's one of the sharpest guys in the whole business. You want to go. Thank you. You want to go and be at the event around the event. There's events around the events after the Super Saturdays, after the weekly briefings, after the trainings. Just like we had a performance club dinner last night. You want to go to those events so that you get to meet those people and develop the relationships. Invest in your team and yourself. Okay, this is the personal development piece. Because if you want more, what? You got to become more. It's simple. You know, if you want different results, you have to do something different. There's a guy that I'm prospecting back at home, and I think he's going to go to the event today. You know, he was complaining. One of the things I told him in a text message, I said, hey, for things to change, you have to change. And he came back to me. He says, yeah, I change, but no, the people around me don't change. I said, well, sometimes you need to change the people around you. You know, don't and you got to be aware, people will make excuses. Okay, no, there's no excuses. You figure out a solution. Don't tell me why something's not working. Figure out how to make it work. Okay, and that is as simple as that. So, investing in yourself, completing the training courses. There's all kinds of stuff in the learning management system in the back office. More, there is so much. One of the best things you could do is go in there and do one module a day, so you learn more about the business. Because there's a lot. I've been in the business 20 years, and I still learn stuff every day in this business, okay? Because some of the stuff isn't relevant anymore, because things are always changing, so you have to stay up to date, okay? 10 pages of a good book, listen to 15 minutes of a good audio a day, and associate with successful, like-minded people going in the right direction, which is what you're doing. That's what this is all about, okay? And sometimes you have to limit associations. You know, and sometimes you have to disassociate with people. Okay, I used to have a friend of mine, and basically, you know, when I went over to his house, it was just drink until he was the one that would get drunk. I wouldn't drink until I was, but I finally said, what am I doing? This is a waste of time, you know. And I slowly limited that association, and now I don't even see him anymore, okay, because it wasn't productive. And I'm not saying you get rid of all your friends, but look at who's helping you grow and spend more time with them, okay. And the negative people, you've got to limit their effect on you. You can't listen to all that negative nonsense all the time because it's going to chip, it'll wear you down. The next thing you know, you're doing the same thing, complaining about this, that, or the other thing. No, that's not who we are. Think positive. Find the solutions. Find positive, happy, like-minded people that are goal-oriented, moving in the direction that you want to move in, and run with them, okay? And then, you know, as you get new people started, you want to sit down with them, do the game plan interview, make sure, do the first step document, the brand new first step document, so that we can get them through, like we did in the briefing, step one and step two. Step one is get them leveled up. Step two is get their three associates leveled up. And that'll pretty much get them to manager or get you to manager, okay? So that's what you want to focus on, as far as investing in yourself. And this is an ongoing process. I think I mentioned last night, I was not into personal development until I got into this industry. Now, I was a public educator, okay? I've been an educator, and I'm a teacher by nature, you know? You say something incorrectly, I'm going to correct you, you know? And I got that, I think, from my mother. She's always, you know, you have to speak properly. Don't say ain't, because it ain't in the dictionary. I say, Ma, look, it is. But you want to, you know, teaching is innate with me. Okay, and you want to make sure that you're training your people to participate in personal development. Like I said, I didn't get involved in personal development until I heard about it through this profession, that this was something that you should do. Work on sharpening your edge. You know, Ben Franklin said, if I was going to chop down a tree, I'd take 3 hours to sharpen the axe, 1 hour hacking at the tree. I'm not going to spend 4 hours with a dull axe at a tree because it's not going to work. Okay, but if I spend 3 hours sharpening my axe, working on me, I go back to that axe, it's like going through a hot knife through butter. It's going to work a lot more effectively, okay? So this is one of the biggest messages I'm trying to get across today. Become more. And it's a consistent, a little bit every day. It's the slight edge. If you practice simple disciplines over time, like exercising on a consistent basis, eating healthy foods on a consistent basis, reading 10 pages of a good book, doing your exposures on a consistent basis, it's going to lead you to success. That's the only direction it's going to go. And the compounded effect will kick in. You'll be like, wow, how did I get up here so quick? Just like if you practice bad habits, smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, eating 3 triple cheeseburgers a day, never exercising, you know, drinking alcohol in excess or even at all, it's going to lead you down here. You know, if people that smoke, if you smoked a cigarette and on the last drag you blew up and died, how many people do you think would smoke? They'd be like, well, I just saw what happened to him. I ain't touching that thing. But eventually, that's pretty much what's going to happen. You're going to, you know, it's going to affect you. You're going to die. So, but it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. And it's the nudge, okay? And, you know, if you're going in this direction and somebody starts chirping in your ear and they nudge you this way, and then the next part you get nudged this way, you know, next thing you know, you're going in the wrong direction. And you didn't even realize it because it's just a slight nudge, okay? You want to stay on course. It's like they say the rocket ship to the moon is always off course, but it's constantly recalibrating itself through the gyroscope and the computers to get back, to stay on track. So it doesn't veer off course. It's always course correcting. And that's what we have to do. That's what the leadership does, try to course correct us, help us, give us that advice so that we stay focused, that we stay true to our goals, who we are, and where we're going, okay? So investing in yourself and your team is huge. Number 6, attend every Super Saturday. Give your guys a round of applause because you've done that. And many of you have stayed, okay? Again, when I wrap up, Dave's going to come back up. We're going to promote the next to Super Saturday with Ted Ma, who is just a phenomenal, young, sharp leader. And I would get as many millennials out. I get as many everybody out. I'm not even sure if he's still a millennial. He looks like a millennial to me. He is a millennial compared to me. But you want to get as many people out because, like I said, he will do the job for you. Our job is to come in and just really educate people on the services and the opportunity and inspire them to get started. And then they plug into the system. But attending the Super Saturdays, this is a bigger picture than maybe your local briefing that might be in Idaho or Montana. You know, you maybe only have 10 to 15 people at the briefing. But then they come to a bigger Super Saturday, you fly in a guest speaker, they get to hear more stories, you know, we get to interact, and they're like, you know what, that guy was a teacher. If he can do this, I can do that, because he said he's, and I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, or no, the sharpest tool in the shed, see, not the smartest tool in the shed. Although they probably do have smart tools now. They got smartphones, they got smart everything, right? But you don't have to be, and again, remember, it's not about you. You have to remove yourself from the equation, because the person that's looking at doing what you're doing is saying, can I do what you're doing? Do I want to do what you're doing? And do I have the time to do what you're doing? Okay? Eventually, if you want to get up in front of the room, that's great. Everybody doesn't need to, though. You can plug people into the system and let the leaders from the front of the room lead your team. All right? Attend Legal Shield conventions. Now, you know, we have 2 conventions a year, 1 big one in Dallas. I'm not even sure when or where the next one is. Do you know? Where? It's in Salt Lake City. Oh, boy. All right. I hope it's in the wintertime. Or if it's not, we're going four-wheeling. I've got first dibs, I'm telling, because the whole company's coming. I'm first. I'll do whatever I got to do. But you want to attend the conventions because that's a bigger picture. You get in front of 10,000 people, 15,000 people, okay, at our convention. Now, we have a big one coming up in March. I think it's the end of March in Dallas, Texas. You saw the slide. I believe from today till for the next 2 days, you can still buy bundled tickets for $59, I think it was. Okay, the tickets are like over $100 a piece now. So if you're a leader, you know, buy a bundle of tickets and make sure you recruit enough people or your team recruits enough people so that you can get those tickets to those people. They buy them from you for $59. Now, you show up in Dallas with a team of 5, 10, 15, 20 people. They get the leverage from that event, which helps your business. Okay, and as you saw, Damon John is going to be there. And, you know, we never know what the announcement's going to be, but I'll tell you, I've never gone to a bad convention. And I've always had a lot of fun. All right, and that really, initially, I was just going to have fun. And then I started making some money, and I was like, all right, I need to take this serious. Seriously, my mother would say. All right, where am I? Number 6. Number 7. And when you go to those big conventions, you know, your goal is to meet leaders in other areas or go there to meet people that have had success, get your team introduced to some of the other people, meet people from different states. And when you get business in Illinois or Southern California, you know people that you can help, that will help you build your business. And there's going to be people that want to know people in Salt Lake City. So you should be that person. You want to be that person, you know, because then that just promotes you and it builds you to a higher level. All right, retain your members. You know, this is critical. This is your residual income. And I know these guys, the group people know this inside out. All right, your persistency rate is important. So, and what your persistency rate is, if you sell 100 memberships this year, and if at the end of the year 100 of them are still on the books, that's 100% persistency. If only 50 of them are in the book, that's 50% persistency. And there will be a huge difference in the amount of residual income you get paid every month based on your percentage. So you want, and I know, I think it's 77% that you have to be in Performance Club, individually or organizationally. And they have tweaked that to our benefit. So it could be either one. But you want to get your persistency up. You want people to, you know how you do that? By explaining the membership right. Knowing, helping them understand what they're getting and the value that they're getting. And I tell them, I expect you to keep this a year. It's a month-by-month commitment, but you're going to need to keep this at least a year, okay? And then I want you to use it. And the, one of the best practices is to follow up with them to make sure they're using the membership. Check to see if they got their wills done, or they're using it if they have any questions. They know how to use the app. And ask them for referrals as well, all right? But retaining members is very, very, very important. Ask for referrals from your members. A happy member will give you referrals. Do you know anybody else that would benefit from this membership? Do you know anybody else that has teenage drivers or drives like a teenager or that hasn't done their will or, you know, has been treated unfairly out in public or, you know, when they're shopping? This everybody's got issues. Nobody's getting out of here without issues, okay? And the issues happen to everybody. So all you have to do is become savvy in engaging people in conversations, questioning them, getting some questions answered about, you know, have you ever used an attorney? You know, they may tell you a disaster story. Or they may tell you, no, because it's too expensive. You know, it's just an easy way to start the conversation. Find a workout partner and choose a mentor, okay? Teamwork makes the dream work. And you need people that are going to push you and pull you. And then you're going to be in a position where you need to pull people up, okay, by being a mentor. You want to find a workout partner. Somebody's going to help hold you accountable. I said I'm going to do 2 exposures a day. And those, you should, you know, ideally, in my opinion, you speak to your workout partner early in the morning of what the goals are for the day, and then a checkout call at night. And these are not social calls. This is, boom, I'm going to do 2 exposures a day, I'm going to make 5 business presentations a day, and I'm going to call on 10 new businesses, okay? And then at the end of the day, did you do what you're supposed to do? And I don't want to know why not, but you said you were going to do this, so you need to make sure you're doing it, okay? So you've got to have, it's like tough love. You've got to have those conversations, and you need to have somebody that's going to help keep you accountable. You don't want to have somebody that's going to say, yeah, don't worry about it, Dave. You can do it tomorrow or you can do it the next day, because they're not pushing you. You want somebody that's going to help you to become more, to become the best you that you can be. And you, in turn, are doing the same for the people that you're leading. And one of the best ways to lead is by example, doing the right activity. You guys, again, you have great leaders here. I mean, most marketplaces are not like this. So you're very fortunate. You can pull somebody in here and say, here's somebody that's having a lot of success with small business or the group enrollment arena or recruiting or building a team all over the country or going on all these trips. I mean, you've got everything right here. You just need to take advantage of it, all right? But the workout partner and a mentor is very, very, very important. And then double your business a year from now. Raise the bar, okay? Not just be here a year from now. Have the intention and the expectation that your business is going to grow, is going to double a year from now. Now, in the Melia organization, Steve, near the end of the year, just in December, said, the Melia's goal is whatever our numbers are for the entire year of 2018, we want to do more than that in the first quarter of 2019. Okay? That's a big goal. So that means my team, me, I have to grow my organization, and I want to do as much as I did last year as I did. I want to do more than I did last year in the first quarter of this year. All right? So whatever that is for you, you want to set your goals so that last year, if you went to the convention, you want to have at least twice as many people there this year, okay? Next week at the business briefing, you want to have more people than you had there this week. At the next Super Saturday with Ted Ma, you want to have more people there on your team this year. So take inventory. How many people do you have on your team? If it's just you, you want to show up with at least a couple more people next month. At least. 3, 5, who knows what the number is. But if you've got a team here, talk to them. How many people are you going to work to get here next year, next week, next month, you know? And you've got a month to make that happen, and that's really what you should do. So, listen, I appreciate my time with you guys. Hopefully, I've you know, set. I've shown you the example of what I've been able to do on a part-time basis. Hopefully, I've educated you on really the size and scope of this opportunity and inspired you to take your business to the next level. Think bigger because, I mean, there's a lot out there. Again, we're only at 2% market penetration. 98 out of 100 people do not have our services. The company has paid out $2.3 billion to people like us over the 46 years. And it's just going to keep increasing because we're only at 2%. What happens if we get to 4%, 5%, 10% market penetration? That means there's going to be a lot of millionaires right in this room, a lot of six-figure ring earners right in this room. And I'll be looking forward to come back when they have the convention here to congratulate you guys. So thanks for having me out here. I've had a great time.
Stay up here. All righty. Everybody have a good day?
Yeah.
Well, I learned a couple things. First of all, one myth that I learned has been dispelled. The black people can't swim. Now we got to find out if white people can jump.
That's true. And they can dance, too.
When I was in high school. Now you're stretching the groove.
No. When I was in high school, white people were dancing to rock and roll, which you don't really dance to rock and roll, in my opinion. But now Eminem messed me all up. I'm like, he's white. So, you know, now there's no separation in anything.
Eminem,
anymore.
Wasn't it Vanilla Ice back in
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but Eminem really off the tag.
All right, first of all, we got a card that a lot of the leaders have signed to thank you for coming out and pouring into us. So a few heartfelt messages.
Well,
and then,
thank you very much.
We only got to show you a small piece of Utah. And I told you that, you know, 2 hours in any one direction, you can be in Moab, you know, we can be in, you know, St. George Zion. We've got Canyonlands, Arches, the Salt Flats, the beautiful mountains. There's so many places to go and see. So we got you a coffee table book so that when you come back and we go out four-wheeling, you'll be able to see some of the sights that you're going to be able to see just hanging out with us and having fun so you can show these pictures to your family and your grandkids. And say,
thank you very much.
We're going back to Utah so we can see a little bit more of that state.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Dave.
Give it up for Mr. Chip Humphrey.
Thank you.
All righty. So it's not really much of a secret who's coming next month. I think you got identified 100 times during the presentation. Usually we keep it a pretty good secret. But put down on your calendar. Do we got the slide up there? Put down on your calendar, February 9th. February 9th. We have $100,000 ring earner, Mr. Ted Ma. Let me tell you, Mr. Humphrey said one of the sharpest minds in the business. Incredible energy. As a young guy in his 20s, built an awesome team making a six-figure income. Maybe you know someone. You go, hey, you know what? I think this person might be able to relate with him really good. We're not only going to have fun, we're going to learn. You're going to be entertained and trained. I mean, when you have people like this come into our marketplace and pour into you. But the cool thing is how many people could you have on your team between now and Mr. Ted Ma? What if you had three more people here that got mentored and trained by someone that inspired them to go out there and duplicate? You know, Mr. Jeff Hughes, you know, my upline, his first day in the business, he invited three people over for pizza, sat down and showed this opportunity to all three people. Within 1 year, all three of those people were executive directors in the company. How valuable was that one event that he was at? That one event has now paid him millions of dollars, one event. But what if he just decided, I'm not going to that event? I'm not doing a pizza party. I'm not going to invite these three people to take a look at it. If you would have sat down and showed me this information 20 years ago, I would be on your team. You'd benefit financially from everything that I did and everything everyone on my team did. Somebody didn't sell me. Somebody didn't recruit me. Somebody showed the information to me. And here's what I was thinking in the back of my mind. I have a day job, and then I deliver pizzas at night, and I hate both of them. I've got a wife and two kids, and I never have time with them. I'm 2 weeks away from bankruptcy my entire life. I drive a salvaged title wrecked car because I can't get a decent one. I'm living in the basement of somebody else's real estate, and I'll never be able to save up enough money to buy my own home on this income. Something's got to change. And somebody says, Dave, I can show you a change. You didn't need to recruit me at that point. I had been on my knees praying to God for somebody to show me something to change. And someone says, Dave, I've got to change. Bam. Someone you know right now wants a change in their life really, really bad. It's 2019, and they've been saying, God, help me find that. You now have a way to share it with them. If you don't share it with them, somebody else will find them in the next year or two. They're going to join on their team. You're going to run into them at one of these events. You're going to go, holy crap, what are you doing here? They're going to, oh, this stranger met me at the grocery store 2 weeks ago. I've already made $500. Like, freak. Why didn't I tell you about it? I've got an associate on my team that hired a mentor, hired a coach, a success coach. $6,000. Here's one of the things the success coach said. You don't have success by accident. You don't trip over. You automate it. You plan it out, and you just achieve it. Like Mr. Humphrey said, you control your destiny. You control the decisions that create your destiny. And when I hear him say, be at every Super Saturday, I'm like, well, duh, that's a no-brainer. Of course I'm going to be here next month. I brought two guests with me, Jerry and VJ, this month. I said I'm not coming back next month without more guests. Jerry tried to cancel on me, didn't you? He tried to cancel on me. And I said, no, get your butt down here. You're coming down here. And he brought his dad also and stuff. Because I knew that once they saw it, it would make sense. I actually had Chris in the back too. He had to sneak out, so I had three guests here today. But I always leave each event saying, I'm coming back next month. Now, I probably had a half a dozen people cancel on me that said they were going to be here. I've rescheduled two private business receptions on the webinar, and I've got a bunch of the people coming to Provo Tuesday night for the business briefing down there. They couldn't make this win. Wonderful. What are you doing Tuesday? Nothing on the books. Wonderful. I'll see you in Provo. So you can't make it today? Okay, we'll reroute it to the next event. We have events all over the state, and if I can't get to them, I'm doing a webinar on the computer. Boom. But I automate it. Success isn't something we tripped over. We got lucky like a lottery. It is a planned thing to make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. You plan it. You just go achieve it and make it. So this associate has a coach that they paid $6,000 to. And they looked at their business. And they said, well, okay, I'm going to help you go out and make make a lot more money. And they paid him $6,000 to figure out the secret. You know what half the plan is? What you just saw here today, the 10 core commitments. I'm like, I would have showed you that for $3,000. One of the things is never miss your Super Saturdays. When your company has an event and they fly in people who've made millions of dollars and you can be there in front of them, be there. Here's the difference between planning for success and hoping it happens. If I get home tonight, my wife says, we have tickets to a movie tonight at 7 o'clock. It's planned. We've put skin in the game. Guess what? If the kids want something different for dinner or everything else like that, guess what? I don't care. Eat cereal. It's time. We got to go to the movie. We leave, and we don't care what you have for dinner that night. Yeah, he knows. He's been there. He saw my two-year-old like a monkey going up the pantry. Like, I'm going to get the Cheerios off the top shelf, right? Yeah. We don't care because we're like, we're late to the movie. We've already dropped $20 on tickets. We're not letting anything get in the way. We're going. If we didn't have a plan, it'd be like, oh, it's not a good night. Look at everything. Maybe we'll catch it next week. If we have tickets to the Jazz game, I don't say, oh, I don't know, it's snowing outside. I got a freaking truck, four-wheel drive. Get in the truck, honey. We're going to the game. I dropped $300 on tickets. We're going to the game. I don't let the weather or people's feelings, well, they are playing the Lakers. They might not win. They have LeBron. I don't care. I'm going to the game. I've got skin in the game, and it's on my schedule. It's planned. If you buy an airline ticket to fly to Jamaica, and you wake up and it's foggy outside and someone says, I don't know about Jamaica. They sell weed down there. Do they? Everywhere you go, they're selling weed, okay? You don't let anything get in the way. You're like, I'm going to be at the airport 2 hours early. It's planned. You got skin in the game, and it's planned. You don't miss the flight. And I got people that hired a success coach and pay them $6,000, and they say, you plan it, and then you be there. And I tell people, I say, next month, February 9th, we've got a guy coming in here to mentor you. And here's what I hear. I'll see if I can make it. Do you want to be successful, or are you hoping this is like the Utah lottery? That somehow a big, huge organization is going to fall into your lap by accident? It is a plan. Success is a plan. Now, I know you guys are going to plan on being there. But why not automate it? If you have a ticket, guess what? Now you start to schedule everything around your ticket. Now, we're going to have tickets for Mr. Ma, $20, to get in next month. I think that's always a wise investment for you to make sure that you're here being mentored by him. If you show up the morning of the event to buy your ticket, then it's $25. So you spend $25 instead of $20. But today, if you want to get two tickets, so now you're saying, not only am I going to have a ticket for me, I'm going to have a ticket for an inactive associate on my team or the guy that I'm going to recruit between now and then, because I don't plan on coming back next month without new people. I plan on being here next month with new people. So for $30, I get two tickets. One for me for my $20, and it's only $10 for my new associate to get in. Boom. But I plan on success. I don't hope it's going to happen. I make it happen. Some people have said, hey, look, Dave, I think a lot bigger than two. What can you do on a package deal? If I'm bringing a lot more than that, say, listen, we'll give you five tickets for $60. That would be the price of four, but we're going to throw in a fifth ticket. If you're one of those people that say, listen, 2019 ain't going to start with a whimper. It's starting with a bang. We're going to go out there and we're going to kill it this month. If that's you, then great. And by the way, for anyone that does get five tickets, they keep a list of those. I do webinars unlimited for you all month long. So you have five tickets and you say, Dave, I need webinars. I've got people all over America. I want you. I want to have a millionaire doing my presentations for me. I'll bring the people on. You do the presentation. They give me a list when I leave here today. Say, these people can call you and schedule webinars all month long for you. If that's you, you're ready to kill it this year, then I'm here to serve you. Ladies and gentlemen, February 9th, we'll see you back out here. Tickets available at the table. Thank you all for coming out today. Magical.